On behalf of all of the devotees of Radha Gopinath Temple, we are very happy to welcome you on this most holy occasion of the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. How many of you were at Radharas Bihari Temple this morning? We spoke this morning about the reasons the Lord appears within this world, the events that led to the appearance of Lord Rama, which culminated in his manifesting himself with his three brothers in the very holy city of Ayodhya. We also discussed how Lord Sri Ram, in the role of a human being, wanted to teach us by his example the ideal in which we should take responsibilities in all of our relationships. Bhakti means relationship. The purpose of life is to revive our forgotten relationship with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada rarely translated the Sanskrit term bhakti as devotion. Following in the footsteps of the great acharyas, he brought out the spirit of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada translated as devotional service. Devotion is something dynamic. Real devotion is based on an interpersonal relationships. You see, even impersonalists, they discuss bhakti. Their idea is devotion. If we just develop a devotion in our heart toward the deity or toward something like that, toward our sadhana, toward our guru, then that is a path that purifies our heart. Which, for the impersonalist, it is. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he established first as the fundamental foundation of all his teachings and philosophy, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas, that we are all eternal servants of Krishna. Krishna is a person and we are persons. We have a relationship with Krishna. Every living being is a part of Krishna. In the spiritual sense, we have a relationship with every living being in our relationship with Krishna. And what is that relationship? Service. Samsudhir Haritoshanam. Service means devotional service is different than just service. When you go to a restaurant, of course, maybe you don't go to restaurants. The waiters or waitresses will serve you. When you go to the railway station, the ticket people may serve you. The person selling you, of course you don't drink chai. The person selling you bananas is serving you. Yes? You go to the airlines and they say, you should come to us because we have the best service. It is service. But it is not devotional service. Devotional service means to serve with love, without expectation of return. Devotional service means our service is to please you, not to get something from you, not that we're getting paid for serving you. Our motivation is to serve. And to the degree we want to please God, please the Vaishnavas, please other living beings, that is devotional service. Based on relationship. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, following the line of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he translated the Maha Mantra in such a way to bring out relationship. Because impersonalist school, they also chant, many of them, the Maha Mantra. I know many people who are followers of impersonal paths, and they have to confess that this is the most powerful and the greatest of all mantras, because it's there in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. Nobody could deny it. Iti soda sakam nam nam kali kalmasha nashanam. In this age of Kali, there is no more powerful remedy for the disease than this 32-syllable, 16-word mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And they will translate Krishna. Some will say that means he's black. Others will say he is all attractive. Rama, he is the reservoir of all pleasure. Hari, the invocation of his divine energy. But Srila Prabhupada didn't just translate the meaning of the words, because that would have minimal benefit to us. Because when we chant the holy name, Yegatamam Prapadyante Tams Tataivam Bhajamyaham, Krishna is none different than his name. As we approach the name, the Lord's going to reciprocate. If we approach the Lord's name for mukti, if you really do it sincerely, Krishna will give you mukti. If you approach the name for material benefits, Krishna, if he chooses to do so, he may reciprocate and give you material benefits. How we chant the name is all important. So Prabhupada translated. He translated the spirit beyond just the literal. And sometimes Srila Prabhupada was criticized by scholars for not giving literal translations of certain passages. Because the scholars, they may know Sanskrit. But unless you're connected to Guru Parampara, you'll never understand what is the essence and realize the meaning. It will remain academic. Prabhupada translated Maha Mantra, O all-attractive Lord Krishna, O divine energy, Srimati Radharani, O Rama, the reservoir of all pleasure, please engage me in your devotional service. Service with devotion. That is bhakti. And it is based on relationship. Well, some people may think that putting so much emphasis on Vaishnav relationships, or not only Vaishnav relationship means our relationships with other Vaishnavas, but it also means as a Vaishnav relationships with all other types of beings as well. Your mother and father may not be devotees, but you can have a Vaishnav relationship with them. You can have a Vaishnav relationship, in a sense, with the common person on the street. Because you're basing your relationship with everyone on the principles of being a Vaishnav. Which means, very simply, the aim of all our relationships is to please Krishna. During the December marathon, when you were distributing books, many of you were having Vaishnav relationships with these people running through the Lower Parel railway station or Dadar, whatever. They may not be Vaishnavas. You may not be doing the six loving exchanges. But because your relationship is based on trying to give them Krishna for the pleasure of Guru and the pleasure of Krishna, the relationship from your side is that of a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav is paradukaduki. A Vaishnav is trying to be a servant of everyone by being an instrument of Krishna's compassion. So yes, Vaishnav relationships means our relationships are centered around pleasing Krishna, being absorbed in Krishna, and especially Vaishnav relationships between Vaishnavas is based on helping each other to overcome obstacles and helping each other to be totally absorbed in remembering Krishna, in serving Krishna, in loving Krishna, in constantly chanting Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna!
So Vaishnava relationships, putting emphasis on this, is not just something sentimental. It's not something just for neophytes. And as we make more advancement and we come out of a very neophyte setting of neophyte devotees, then we're talking about the very, very high topics. Because the very high topics are nothing but Vaishnav relationships. When we talk about the love affairs between Krishna and the gopis, what is it? It's relationships. All the gopis assisting Srimati Radharani, it's their relationships. Servant of the servant of the servant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani. And he's teaching us what should be our goal. Gopi Bharatur Padakamla Yora Dasa Dasanu Das. That's what he's longing for. To be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So Vaishnav etiquette, Vaishnav relationship is the very basis, the foundation of our connection to God and the means of our spiritual advancement. And it is something that as it develops, it goes deeper and deeper and deeper for the rest of eternity. The Supreme Lord comes in different incarnations to fulfill different purposes according to time, place, and circumstance. But the essence of what he teaches and what he exemplifies is eternal forever. Lord Ramachand, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appeared, he taught us how to be a perfect student, then how to be a perfect grihasta, then how to be a perfect sannyasi. All the while, enthusing everyone to chant the holy names and love Krishna and be absorbed in Krishna and always serving the devotees. Always being compassionate to others. Ramchandra, Lord, came as a king. He was born on this day of Ram Navami to the Raghu dynasty, which is descending from Vivishwan. And he taught us the ideal relationships we should have with different people in our lives. And if we study each and every one of them, which are so enchanting in Ram's Leela, so deep, so profound, they're all based on sacrifice. Selfless sacrifice. Putting oneself as an instrument of kindness for someone else's benefit. Now, modern day, it is called the I generation, where people are so enraptured with I, me, and mine. What's in it for me? But unfortunately, these people, they miss the whole point. They're cheating themselves, individually and collectively, by propounding such a philosophy. Why? Because the pleasure of the heart and the pleasure of soul is meant for the pleasure of God. And the pleasure of God is when we are an instrument of kindness toward others, an instrument of His love. And that entails sacrifice. It is tested by our willingness to sacrifice. Ram was the ideal son. His father, Dasarath, was a Kshatriya. For a Kshatriya, his honor is more important than his life. We were talking in much detail this morning. We will not go into it so deeply. But when Kaikeyi was influenced by Mandara, her pure heart that loved Ram so dearly and would do anything and everything for her husband Dasarath, it became so polluted by the association of one envious person. And hearing the blasphemy spewing out of Mandara's mouth, Kaikeyi didn't believe it at the beginning. But Mantra was very, very, she presented it so logically. And she took a whole array of facts, because facts are convincing, are they not? She took facts, but just put them in the wrong perspective, but with total conviction that this was the truth. That's usually what happens when you really, really want to seriously discredit someone. Even someone that's good, you just take a whole series and history of facts and you present those facts with some slightly wrong, untrue connections. And those facts become evidence. That's what lawyers are expert at. You pay a lawyer to defend you. It's not their business whether you're guilty or innocent. It's their business to get an innocent verdict on you. Yes? Even if they know you're guilty. Still, you're paying them. So they don't really care about the truth so much often. They'll just do all kinds of intense research to get facts. But they have a motive, and they'll manipulate those facts according to their motives, so it's so amazingly convincing. Yes, this did happen, and this did happen, and that did happen, and this did happen too, and even that happened. So what he's saying must be true. That is the parampara of mantra. Mahaprabhu is Krishna's lawyer. He doesn't just present facts, he presents the absolute truth. Don't you see? Look, Bharat was out of town, in a distant place, the kingdom of Kekaya, with your father, Kaikeyi. Yes, so far away. Why did Dasarath decide to have the coronation when Bharat's not here? Don't you understand? And just Bharat, his qualities, his exalted nature, it's a fact, is it not? Of course Ram is envious of him. Anybody would be. Of course he's going to fear him because he's more qualified. And what about you? All these things. Facts distorted by the wrong motivation. And what was the motivation? Envy. The core basis of material bondage. It is said if you take one rotten apple and put it in a basket of apples, that one apple will make all the other 50 apples rotten. How does that work? It's nature. We become what we associate with. And unfortunately, in this material world, we are more naturally, spontaneously inclined to be envious than we are to love God. At least most of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. It's very difficult to be kind, to be compassionate from the heart and to love God. But it's very, very easy to be envious. So when we're with envious people and they're criticizing others, it very easily damages our faith. And that's the first thing that happened to Kaikeyi. Her faith was damaged. A seed of doubt was created by Mantra.
what do you say? First she just said, no, it's not true. It can't be true. It's not true. But then the facts. And she spoke with such envy, and that envy was such a powerful force that it just crept in. And Soon Kai Kei said, she was confused. She began to doubt her own husband. She began to doubt God. Ram, her most beloved deity in life. So similarly, if we associate with devotees who are praising the Lord, then that difficult task of awakening our faith and our love takes place. But if we associate with people who are blaspheming, who are envious, even if they're devotees, some of the worst association could be a devotee who's envious and blasphemous. Now, we don't have to say you're envious and blasphemous, but we should just respectfully keep a distance. Because they have the power to present the most facts. Because they know the philosophy. They could present the facts really, really expertly, but if they have an envious motive, it comes out as blasphemy. And it could destroy our faith in other devotees and cause us to start committing offenses. And what happens? We lose our service attitude. It's just a matter of time. We lose our faith in the Vaishnavas. Gradually we lose our faith in the instructions of the Guru, who's telling us not to do these things. Very dangerous. So Lord Chaitanya, he made Krishna consciousness very simple. Associate with people who are inspiring you to chant Hare Krishna and absorb your mind in Krishna, and who do not have a tendency to criticize others. And avoid the association of people who are criticizing others and who are too much attached to materialism. So envy is a very powerful disease. So, Dasarath didn't actually banish Ram. Kaikeyi banished Ram. Dasarath was just laying there in total misery. And Kaikeyi told Ram that you're banished. Your father gave me these two boons. Get out. Protect his honor. And he understood. He did give his wife these two boons, and he had it to protect his father's honor. Now, it's amazing. We discussed this morning, all Ram had to do, he had everyone except Mantara and Kaikeyi were on his side. The entire kingdom of Ayodhya, all the priests headed by Vasishtha Muni, his mother, everyone wanted him to stay. But to protect the honor of his father, he was willing that Bharat be king and that he go into the forest to live as a recluse for 14 years. Sacrifice of love. It's a great example. And for friend Bharat, today it's so common that brothers fight over wealth. Often it's wealth that was left by the father. Yes? Maybe expanded on since he's gone, but it was left by the father, the foundation, the basis of it. Father works so hard all his life, wants to give it to his son so they'll be happy, And is there happiness in hating each other, fighting each other, competing against each other? All over the world it's happening. It happens more than it doesn't happen. Brotherly love. But here we have the example of Rama and Bharat. They were fighting. They were fighting amongst brothers. Well, what a wonderful fight they had in Chitrakoot, at the Kamagiri, on the banks of the Mandakini Ganga. They had a fight. Bharat came. He came to Chitrakoot with matted hair and deerskin, because he heard that that's what Ram was wearing, and he couldn't face him in a better way. So Bharat is begging Ram, pleading with Ram, weeping, tears. You sit on the throne of Ayodhya. You are the natural king. I will replace the exile. I will stay in the forest for 14 years. I had nothing to do with this miserable, horrible conspiracy created by my mother, who I have rejected. And Ram chastised him. He said, never reject your mother. You must go back. You must forgive her. You may take care of her. Give her love and encouragement for the rest of her life. How can me, like a crow, take the role of Garuda, a jackal, take the role of a lion? The throne is for you, Ram. I am your servant. Please, I beg you, I've come with all the water to coronate you and bring you back. And every one of Ayodhya has come sharing my wish. Here is all the saints, all the rishis, all the brahmins, our mothers, the ministers, the armies, the generals, the citizens. We are all fixed in one purpose. We have come here to Chitrakoot to convince you to go back to Ayodhya to be the king. And I will remain here. And Ram thought, no, you go back. You take the throne and I will stay here. Now, what's the most valuable wealth in the world? From a material sense, it's being the king of the world. That throne is a lot bigger than being a CEO or a director or a president of a corporation or a president of a nation or a prime minister. These are all little things compared. But the emperor of the world, unrivaled, that throne, more people will envy that than anything else. It doesn't even exist anymore. And they're fighting as brothers. You take it. No, you take it. I'll eat roots and herbs, and you take the throne and live in opulence. No, I'll eat roots and herbs, and you go back to Ayodhya and live in the palace. Love means sacrifice. That was the love that Ram taught us that should be there between brothers. And wife, what a husband Ram was to his wife. He was trying in every way to convince Sita not to go to the forest. It's too dangerous. It's too harsh. You're so frail, you'll never survive. There's man-eating rakshasas. They'll see your beauty. They're going to want to kidnap you and do horrible things to you. And what to speak of the snakes and the scorpions and the wild animals and the cold. And very difficult. Ram was going into the very deep recesses of the forest, because that's what his stepmother ordained as his father's honor. He had to do it. They argued. Sita ultimately won the argument. after pages and pages of debate.
And do you know what it was for Ram to try to protect her in that situation? He was 24 hours a day encouraging her, showing her love, protecting her physically, emotionally, everything, and Lakshman too. It was difficult living there for her. You know, when difficulties come, Ram could have just said, "I never told you to come. This was your idea. I wanted you to stay back. Don't blame me." Would have been a fact. But no. See, until Ravana happened to come, even despite all Rakshasas attacking and all kinds of, you know, living in jungles, she never felt a moment of inconvenience. She was just so protected by Ram at every moment. And at a certain point, when she was kidnapped, Ram put 100% of his energy to find her, to the point of being willing to fight a war. And Srila Prabhupada explains that when Ram found out from Jatayu about Ravana stealing her and all the armies in Sri Lanka, whatever, you know, he could have... The simple thing is to go back to Ayodhya and say, "Okay, armies, come. Let's fight." And the armies would have ran out. But the honor of his father, Prabhupada explained. He vowed to remain in the forest for 14 years. He never entered a village. He never entered a place of any collection of humans. Chitrakoot, there was a forest spotted with sages. But there was no little town, there was no little village, there was no marketplace, nothing. To preserve the honor of his father's word, he would not go to Ayodhya to take the armies. He had to stay in the forest. And therefore, he made an army out of monkeys who happened to be living in a forest. Such sacrifice, such love, such an example of how a husband should deal with a wife. And friend, Maharaj Guha, Jatayu. Jatayu was just a bird, a vulture. But he tried to help Ram. Actually, the Lord doesn't need anything we do. He accepts it for our benefit. You make a sacrifice for Krishna, it's for your benefit. He doesn't need it. But the love gives him pleasure. But whatever little we do for the Lord, how much does he do for us? Yes, Jatayu fought. It was a great thing. But at the greatest moment of his need, when he was dying, Ram was right there with Jatayu's head in his lap, embracing him, looking lovingly right into his eyes. And he said to Jatayu, "On this very day, I'm sending you to my abode in Vaikuntha." And then the Lord did the last rites for him. Ideal example of friend. And as a ruler, how he ruled over his citizens, every single individual, he was so careful to make great sacrifices to give them happiness and support if they required it. So this evening, we'd like to extend this line of thought to how the Lord was such an example of forgiveness, even to his enemies, and how he was such an example of being a well-wisher to everyone, and how he was so open in his heart to give shelter. Now, the Lord not only taught by his own example, but he also taught by the example of his devotees the ideal way of living. So we'd like to speak briefly about Vibhishan. And I'd also like to speak something about Ravana, because he was really an ideal example of what not to be. The part about him may be more relevant to us than everything else. When the Lord wants to make a point, he makes it very strong. But unless we have a heart that's receptive to hear, we will not understand it. So Lord Ramchandra, he was at Setubandha in the Rameshwaram area of South India. He already had made an alliance with Sugriva, Hanuman, Angada, Jambavan, and the Vanara communities of warriors, monkeys, bears. Meanwhile, Ravana, he was so determined to enjoy Sita. So determined. Hanumanji had already come previously and gave Ram's message to Sita in the Ashok garden, and purposely arranged to create such a chaos that he would get to fight against Ravana's people after doing his duty to Ram. A serious devotee like Hanumanji always wants to do something more. All he was ordered to do was go there and give this message. But he did it. He went there. He gave the message. But then he wanted to do some extra service. He wanted to really understand. He saw every situation as an opportunity. He started tearing apart the garden, and Ravana sent his own son, powerful Rakshasa. Hanuman killed him. And then so many other generals came with armies. Hanuman massacred them. He didn't even have a weapon. He was just using trees. And then he allowed himself to get tied up by Indrajit because he wanted to face Ravana directly and warn him. It was his mercy. He wanted to give Ravana a chance. And Ravana has this monkey tied up, apparently helpless, captured by a whole host of powerful Rakshasas. And when he inquires from Hanuman, Hanuman just tells him, says, "Who are you?" "I am the servant of Ram." And in so many words, he just started glorifying Ram. Oh, with so much love. He was giving Ravana Ram Katha. Really. He was just giving such a katha about the glories of Ram, the powers of Ram, the mercy of Ram, the love of Ram, the history of Ram. And Ravana was just disgusted. And he ended his katha by saying, "If you don't give Sita back, Ram is going to come and destroy you. Look at me. I'm just a simple messenger. Look what I've done already to your people."
if you want to live, if you want any of your family to live, then give back Sita. Do not be a fool. For Ram to kill you, nothing. Ravana was absolutely insulted. He did not accept this as good advice. His ego was too much inflated by his power, his wealth, all the people who were glorifying him all around. He wanted to kill Hanuman. Kill this monkey! And that's where Vibhishan stepped forward. Because Vibhishan was not only the brother of Ravana, but he was his main counselor. Because he was so wise, so balanced. He knew the scripture so well. He was so logical. He could just precisely explain things as they are. And Ravana knew that. But when you're blinded by envy and lust and arrogance, you can't hear. He said he's a messenger. According to the laws of Kshatriya conduct, you can never kill a messenger of the enemy. You could punish him, but you cannot kill him. It will destroy your fame, your virtue, your dignity, everything. Finished. So Ravana took his advice. He didn't kill him. Of course he couldn't anyway. Monkeys are proud of their tails. Light his tail on fire. And just to humiliate him, we'll just drag him through the streets of Lanka. And his tail will burn and the fire will completely emaciate and deform his entire body and what's left of him if he lives through it. Then his mangled, bitterly injured body, he could go back to Ram and cry. So they tied him up with big, big, big ropes and they brought him out and they were just defiling him. His tail was on, they put cloth and soaked it totally in oil, wrapped it in his tail and lit it on fire. Sita heard about this. She had just met Hanuman. Hanuman just gave her Ram's message with love. She prayed to the fire god, Agni Dev. Let the fire on Hanuman's tail feel very cool. And Agni Dev made the fire cool. And Hanuman was amazed. Tail's blazing and it feels so good. He was thinking, This, because I'm doing Ram's will. He's the supreme controller. But more so, Sita must be praying for me. He understood. But he was thinking, let them take me around. Then I get to see the whole city, and then I can report to Ram exactly what the city's like, so when we attack, we'll know how to do it. So he saw this as an opportunity to do more service. So after he got a tour, he made himself very small by his mystic power, slipped out of the rope, jumped in the air, became big, started beating off all the rakshasas who were around him, and then jumped on a roof. And that building set fire. Jumped on another roof, that set fire. Jumped on another roof, that set fire. He was just roof jumping. And these palaces, some of them were made out of gold and silver and jewels. And rakshasas were just, it was blazing fire everywhere. Some of them were just, they were burning to death. They were jumping out of high buildings to the ground to die because they were burning to death. And the buildings were burning. It is said that there were rivers of gold and silver with islands of jewels floating through them,
which were the melted buildings of Sri Lanka. And ultimately, after a large portion of the city was in total havoc, Hanuman just assumed this gigantic form and sat on a mountain and looked at all the fun he was having. He was very happy. And then he returned. So when they were all stationed at at Rameshwaram, Ravana was organizing his armies, what to do, how to fight this massive army of monkeys with Ram and Lakshman. And the first thing is every one of Ravana's big heroes, they were so proud. They were so deceived by their own egos. Each one of them, when Ravana asked, what do you think is the best course of action? Each of them stood up. Ravana, I myself, single-handedly, could destroy Ram, Lakshman, and all those insignificant monkeys. You may ask why Hanuman did all that stuff. We weren't expecting him. What do you expect? He took us off guard, but now we're expecting. And he was just roaring, lifting his bow, lifting his club, lifting his sword. I will destroy them. I can do it. Ravana, all you have to do is sit back here in Sri Lanka and let me do it all. Every one of them were saying like that. Ravana, what do you have to fear from these mortal humans? Ram, he was rejected by his own father. He's such a useless person. Indra, you defeated Indra. You defeated the hosts of the demigods. What do you have to fear? We will destroy them. And they were roaring like lions. Then Vibhishan stood up. He's Ravana's brother. And all the chaos of everybody just screaming about how great they were, gradually it became completely silent because Vibhishan was very, very powerful. When they were younger, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Suparnaka, Vibhishan all did tapasya together. Severe tapasya. For 10,000 celestial years. Ravana, he asked Brahma for all mystic powers, for all kinds of astras. He asked him for the power to not be killed by any type of living entity in the universe. Except he didn't even mention humans because they were too insignificant for him to mention. Kumbhakarna would have asked for the same thing. But he was already so big that the demigods, they went to Brahma and said, if you give him any benedictions, we're finished. Without any benedictions, he's devouring everything in sight. So by the arrangement of Brahma and the demigods, Brahma said, what benediction would you like? And Saraswati jumped on his tongue and said, sleep. And before he could say anything else, Brahma said, so be it. And he would go to sleep. Every time he'd go to sleep, he'd sleep 6 months. So basically, he was awake 2 days a year. He'd be up for a day, then he'd go to sleep. And 6 months later, he'd wake up for a day and then go to sleep. So that was, of course, what he did in one day was a lot.
unless he was very purposely awakened.
Vibhishan, after 10,000 years of tapasya, with Ravana and Kumbhakarna, when he was offered benediction, all he wanted was pure unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Lord, that he could live according to the highest modes of Dharma, that he could be pious, virtuous, a friend of all, and a lover of God. That's what he asked for. So when he stood up,
everyone was very much silent. What is Vibhishan going to say?
Vibhishan was honest. He knew what he was going to say was going to really anger Ravana. But he had to say it because he loved him. And he was a friend and brother.
In so many words, he said, Ravana, who has deceived you to put this serpent of Sita around your neck? Her beauty and charms are like her fangs. Her beautiful shapely form is like her coils. And her total love and faith in Ram is her venom. Send her back. Ram is the Supreme Lord. You have no chance. You have abducted another woman's wife. Send her back or you will be destroyed. The whole Lanka will be destroyed. And everyone here will be destroyed. You are the king and the protector. Do not risk this. Send her back. There was total silence. Ravana didn't say a word. He dismissed the assembly.
The next morning, Vibhishana privately met Ravana in his own inner chambers of his palace, which was made out of crystal. And he gave him the same instructions. But then Ravana became very angry. Very, very angry. And the next assembly, the great heroes were again just talking all arrogant, and Vibhishan stood up and said, you are all a bunch of ignorant fools. You don't know what is this Ram. You don't know what is this Lakshman. You don't know the extent of the strength of these monkeys. You are talking like ignorant. You're all going to die. This is my brother. And he gave the same instruction to Ravana. At that time, Indrajit, he was furious. How you dare tell my father like this? You think my father's just an ordinary mortal? And Indrajit was just like a lion, he was roaring. I have defeated Indra, the king of the gods. What do I have to fear? Ram and Lakshman and all these monkeys, Sugriva, Hanuman, he said, within minutes I will slaughter them all. Father, you have nothing to worry about. What to speak of you, I'll do it all. And as far as you, even the demigods tremble in fear. Don't listen to this traitor of a brother of yours. And Vibhishan's stood up, said, Indrajit, you are just an ignorant child. Don't speak to me like this. You know nothing about anything. your stupid words will be the cause of the death of your father and our entire dynasty. Sit down and just keep your mouth shut. Indrajit did not like that kind of talk. And Ravana just blared against Vibhishan. You're a traitor. You have been affected by the enemy. You have forgotten my prowess, my courage, my greatness. Ravana sent a messenger, Sukha, to spy, to see what the armies were like. Actually, what happened? I'm sorry. Yes, he sent a spy. Okay. First, before that, Ravana was so harsh with Vibhishan. He said, because you are such an unloyal brother, I should kill you for blaspheming in this way and blaspheming my son and my generals. You should die, but because you're my brother, I will not kill you. Vibhishan came to the conclusion, I've tried everything. And he told Ravana, I'm leaving. Vibhishan had four very loyal assistants, ministers. And they flew across the ocean to where Rama's camp was. Now that's the power of these rakshasas. The monkeys built that bridge, right? They hadn't built it yet, but it was a lot of effort. But Vibhishan, he could just fly across within a moment. And he hovered in the sky in this gigantic form with his four ministers. And Sugriva and the other monkeys were just looking up at him like, Rakshasas, we should kill them. They were really looking fierce. They were all holding weapons too. So Vibhishan, he said, I want to speak to the leader of the monkeys. So Sugriva came forward. He said, my brother is Ravana, and I am Vibhishan. I warned my brother that you must return Sita to Ram, because he is the embodiment of virtue. You cannot defeat him. But my brother rejected everything I said, so I have rejected my brother, so I have come to take shelter of Lord Ram. Now this was really confusing. Ravana's brother, gigantic Rakshasa, with four other gigantic Rakshasas around him. And Sugriva's a warrior, you know, he knows what Rakshasas are like. So he went to Ramchandra and told him. And Ram, as the perfect leader, wouldn't make choices independently without first taking counsel from those who he trusted. Very important factor. Downfall of many leaders, like Ravana, is to surround themselves with what we sometimes call yes men. People who just tell you what you want to hear, but don't tell you the truth. A good leader in any field is going to surround himself with people who are going to tell him objective truths, not just what you want to hear. Vibhishan was like that. He told the truth to Ravana. So Ram asked the various leaders of the monkeys, what do you think I should do with this Vibhishan? And Sugriva said, kill him. We should immediately kill the four of them because he's a Rakshasa.
and he's robbing his brother, and we can never trust him. And all the others were saying, all the others, that we should capture them, and we should punish them, we should imprison them, or we should kill them.
Hanuman was silent. Ram called upon Hanuman, "What do you think?" He said, "I looked at his expression of how he spoke, the tone of his voice. I'm convinced that he's sincere. He's coming to take shelter of you. We should accept him as our own brother and make him part of our family." Rama spoke inclined in that way. But when Rama spoke inclined in that way, Sugriva was really, really disturbed. He thought Ram was really making a mistake. He said, "Ram, don't you understand? He is a Rakshasa. That's his nature. And Ravana is his brother. The Rakshasas are his family. Blood is very thick, as they say. Even if he takes shelter of you, even if he comes on our side, do you think during this war he's going to stay faithful to you when you're killing his relatives, his friends, his family, his dynasty? He's born and raised a Rakshasa. Under circumstances, he's going to forcibly resort back to his Rakshasa nature. You can't change a man's nature. This is a big mistake. He must be rejected." And Ram replied with his famous quote, "If a person comes to me saying, 'I am yours,' only once, then I shall give him courage and protection from all danger forever after. This is my solemn vow made here before you all. Even if Ravana himself came to me, I would not refuse him shelter. Bring Vibhishan here, for I have already granted him safety." And then immediately, Ram consulted Vibhishan as his own minister. Said, "How are we going to cross all these millions of monkeys across the ocean? Can you give us some guidance?" Vibhishan said, "I think you should perform tapasya and speak to the god of the ocean." So Ram got some kusha grass, put it down on the bank of the shore of the ocean, and sat for several days doing tapasya. And the ocean didn't come. I think it was 5 days. Ram became really, really angry. He's the Supreme Lord, and Samudradev is just ignoring him. Ram took a bow and drew an arrow and started shooting these blazing hot arrows into the ocean. And soon, waves like mountains were coming out of the ocean. It was heating up. Everything was being agitated. Then he took this other arrow that would have dried up the ocean. And he cried out, his eyes were red. Rage. "Ocean, you are so arrogant. I have taken a humble position, performing tapasya in great respect, offering you prayers, and you don't listen to me? In this world, people don't respect humility. They respect arrogance, pride, and force. All right, if that's what you want." This arrow started just making the whole ocean burning hot. And even gigantic whales were
were jumping out, screaming in agony. And Samudra appeared in his form, celestial form, and bowed down to Ram and said, please forgive me, but please understand that people do act according to their nature. And my nature is very deep. So I don't take things so, I don't do things very easily. But I grant this as your servant. Nala, yes, was it Nala? Nala is the son of Vishwakarma, and he's a very excellent architect. Have him build a bridge. And I will grant that all the stones and wood and whatever he puts in that bridge will float on my surface. So Ram was pleased. And then all the monkeys started getting big rocks and boulders and trees and lining them up on the shore. And then they put them in the ocean and tied them with creepers and vines. And in 5 days, they built a bridge. 80 miles wide, 800 miles long. That reached from Setubandha to Sri Lanka. And when it was complete, Vibhishan and his four ministers on the Sri Lanka side stood at the end to guard, to make sure none of the Rakshasas would meddle with the bridge. And the monkey soldiers, they were in ecstasy. They were yelling and howling and screeching and with trees and clubs in their arms, started swarming onto that bridge. So Ravana sent Shuka and Sharana. First he sent just Shuka as a spy. I want you to go there and tell me what's going on. So he went. And as soon as he got there, Vibhishan told Sugriva, that's Shuka, he's a Rakshasa. I recognize him. And they dragged him down and beat him up. And they kicked him and punched him and poked him and everything else and dragged him over to Ram. And Sukha said, I'm just a messenger. I'm just not a messenger. I'm just a spy. I have been sent by Ravana. Don't kill me. So Ram said, let him free. But before you let him free, give him a whole tour of everything. And then let him go very safely back to Ravana and tell Ravana everything you have seen. But also tell him, if he doesn't give Sita back, I'm going to destroy him. So Sukha came back and he said to Ravana, you don't want to fight against those people. Those monkeys are so big and they're so strong and they were going to kill me, but Ram is so merciful. He's so kind. He's so... You should give Sita back. Ravana chastised him. Because you were beaten up, you got all bewildered. So then he sent him back along with Sharma. Yes. And the two of them, he said, you disguise yourself to be like them, enter into their ranks and find out what they're talking, what their strategies are. So they went. And within minutes, Vibhishan says, these are two spies of Ravana. So the monkeys grab them and pound them and punch them, and kick them and scratch them with their claws and throw them down at Ram's feet. Give them prasad, you know. Give them a nice tour. Tell them whatever we want to do. And then send them back to Ravana. So they both came back with the same message to Ravana. There's no way anyone can defeat them. It's an ocean of these powerful, powerful personalities. And Ram and Lakshman, you've never seen them. You don't know what it's like. Give Sita back.
wouldn't listen. In Kumbhakarna, another day there was a council and everybody was speaking all glories of Ravana, all glories to Ravana, all glories to the undefeatable king of the universe, Ravana. And Kumbhakarna stood up. It happened to be the day that he's awake. And he said, Ravana, you're asking all this counsel and advice. You're my brother. I have to speak to you honest. Why didn't you ask for advice before you took Sita? That was such a foolish thing that you did. Ram and Lakshman are very, very, very powerful, and their armies are incredible. You're risking everything in our kingdom. If you had any sense, you would send Sita back now. But I know you won't. So then he got into his other mode and said, I will single-handedly kill them all, you know. Ravana was very happy with his support, but he was very humiliated by the chastisement. And Ravana's grandfather, Malayan, he also preached to Ravana. He said, don't you understand that you're full of sin and Ram is full of virtue, so he's going to win this war. You can't win. Please give Sita back. You're the protector of everyone in this kingdom. Just for your own selfish, lusty desires, you're willing for everyone to die and everything to be destroyed? Ravana became very angry. He wouldn't listen. So many people were telling him the truth. This is the nature of arrogance. When we think we're great, or when we're blinded by lust, blinded by greed, blinded by false pride, we can't see, we can't hear, and we fall. There are so many modern examples in our history. Hitler was very powerful. He had such a massive army. He was just destroying one country after another country. He was defeating them. Nothing could stop him. He was just marching country after country, and everyone, either they just surrendered just by seeing his armies, or they fought and in a few days they were dead. France had one of the three largest armies in all of Europe, and within days they were defeated and surrendered. And the more he conquered, the more he became proud. And later on, when Russia was attacking and America was attacking, everyone was attacking and he was losing everything and they were bombing his cities and destroying his people. He had some of his ministers were just, they can't win. Look at what you have done. You are all powerful. But others of his generals, they saw what was happening. They saw that that hundreds of thousands of people were going to be killed and they didn't have a chance of winning. They were being defeated. They were surrounded on all sides. They said, just surrender. No, I will not surrender. Still thought he would win. And when they were just closing in on him and everything was finished, still they asked him to surrender. And you know what he told them? He said, destroy all the bridges, destroy all the facilities that were created for his people, so that it would be more difficult for the enemies to come. They said, if you do this, all your people are going to die. And he said, because they have lost faith in me, they all deserve to die. And he was talking about the German people. That he was supposed, that they had faith in him for as being their protector. He said, because they have lost their faith in me, they should all die. They're not worthy of living. What arrogance can do to a pure spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna? Unbelievable. That was Ravana. Anyways, we're out of time. There was the battle, and it was a very good battle. Just before the battle started, Ravana wanted to deceive Sita into surrendering. One of his associates was a mystic yogi, and he was expert at manufacturing things. Something like Haridas and Narahariya, they make nice things. But they do it for Krishna, by Krishna's grace. He created a head that looked exactly like Lord Rama's. And Ravana went to Sita. He told his people. He said, I know this is going to be a good fight, but I tell you, I cannot give up my passion for Sita no matter what, so we're going to fight this war. He told them honestly. And they all said, yes, yes, you are a great hero. So he went to Sita in the Ashoka Grove and said, last night, you know, everyone was sleeping. I sent my armies. We killed all the monkeys. And while Ram and Lakshman were sleeping, we cut their heads off. So now you should surrender to me. Ram will never come. He's dead. And for proof, here is his head. And he threw Ram's head down. And he said, and here is Ram's bow. And there was a replica bow of his. Threw it down. Sita was weeping. Sita was crying. Sita was fainting. She cursed Kaikeyi. Don't you see, Kaikeyi, what you have done just for your selfish ambitions, what you have done to our beloved Ram? Slain at the hands of Rakshasas. She was beside herself in grief. She was about to give up her life. And then somehow or other, by the will of Providence, somebody ran to Ravana and said, there's an emergency situation, whispered in his ear. The council is meeting. We need you immediately. So when he left, Sarama. Does everyone know who Sarama is? Vibhishan's wife. Vibhishan's wife was as honest, pure, and devoted as her husband. She was the only one in Sri Lanka that was comforting Sita, but she had to do it in secret. And she said to Sita, please do not be aggrieved. Ravana is a liar. Your husband is not dead. Vibhishan sends me messages. He is live and well, and all the monkeys are ready to fight. Give up all your grief. Very soon, this whole Rakshasa dynasty will be defeated and you will be reunited with Ram, I promise you. Nothing could conquer over Ram. So Sita embraced Sarama. She was her real friend.
And then, just after she said that, the monkeys started blowing their horns and screaming, and the rakshasas were blowing their horns and screaming. Sita said, yes, the battle's about to begin.
Many days it was fought. And as the rakshasas were losing more and more and more of their greatest heroes, even Mandodari, Ravana's wife, was pleading with him, please send Sita back. I'll do anything for you. I'm also very beautiful and very nice. What's wrong? You have me, you have so many others. Just send Sita back. He would not. And ultimately, Ram was face to face with Ravana, cutting off his heads. But the heads kept growing back. It was Vibhishan who was always right there at Ram's side. He said, no matter how many times you chop off his heads, Brahma gave him the benedictions, they will grow back. He has celestial nectar in his heart that makes it impossible to kill him. But if you shoot an arrow in his heart that dries up that nectar, then he will instantly die. So Matali, the charioteer that was given by Indra, along with the chariot, he told him, those arrows that were given to you by Angira Muni, with the mantras that he gave, they have the power. So here Ram, the Supreme Personality of Godhood, the knower of everything, is taking counsel from Vibhishan, taking counsel from his charioteer, and he's using the weapon that is the blessing of a sage. And took that arrow and chanted the mantra, Aditya Hridaya Mantra, and released it. It was effulgence. It soared through the air, illuminating all directions. Meanwhile, Ravana was passionately on his chariot, just shooting arrow after arrow after arrow. And that astra of Angira Muni, or Agastya Muni, I'm sorry, it was Agastya Muni, pierced his chest, ripped open his heart, dried up the nectar. Ravana vomited blood from his 10 mouths and fell to the ground in the dust, dead. All the monkeys were just leaping in the air, chanting Harivo. Harivo! But they chanted much louder than that. They were dancing, they were jumping, and they started chasing away all the rakshasas, and all the other rakshasas just ran away in fear when they saw Ravana dead. But there was one person there who was weeping, Vibhishan. He loved his brother. He was a real friend. He fell on his knees near Ravana. Why didn't you listen to me? I tried in every way to serve you, to help you. Why didn't you listen to me? Now look. Hundreds and thousands, millions of people are killed. Everything's finished. Why didn't you listen? Ram tried to pacify him. That you should understand, there's no need to lament over a dead corpse. The soul is eternal. And he died like a hero in the battlefield. And all great heroes in the military, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. And losing means to die. That's the way battle is.
So you have to lose sometimes. And he lost. But he died like a hero, fighting in the field. And certainly his soul will be elevated. I will give his soul liberation. And Lakshman started trying to pacify Vibhishan by telling him the nature of the soul and the philosophy of life. Then Mandodari and the wives of Ravana came running, beating their breasts, weeping, crying. Mandodari was chastising her dead husband. Everyone who was your real friend, including myself, pleaded with you, demanded, give back Sita. Why didn't you do that? I would have given you everything. Why you wouldn't listen to good sense? You were simply a victim of your own pride and lust. And now look. Not only you, but all your brothers, all your children, my children, dead. Because of one man's envy. That's all. One man's envy. And look what happened. Then Ram tells Vibhishan, you should perform the last rites. Because in order for him for Ravana to attain a higher destination, a noble person, relative, must perform the last rites. Vibhishan said, I cannot perform the last rites for him. I don't have it in my heart to do so. He was so cruel, so evil. He caused so much pain to so many people. He was so envious, so arrogant, so lusty. And you're my Lord. He stole your wife and fought against you with hatred. I cannot perform the last rites to him. Ram preached to Vibhishan. He said, whatever he may have done, he's a pure spirit soul. And now that his body has been separated from his soul, then whatever he has done in the past doesn't make any difference. He's your brother. He's a pure soul, and he deserves to be given respect and compassion as a soul. It is your duty to perform the last rites to him with love and devotion and help him to attain a higher destination. This is the magnanimity of Ram. This man, Ravana, who blasphemed Ram, who stole his wife, who tried to murder him, who tried to murder all his devotees, still, he's talking about him with love and compassion. So they lifted Ravana, brought him into Sri Lanka, put a golden cloth over him. They had Brahmins chanting mantras, and Vibhishan circumambulated him and lit his body, chanting the mantras and sending him to the heavens. Then there was the test of Sita. Vibhishan, after Sita was reunited with Ram, Vibhishan invited Ram, please come to Sri Lanka. Ram already had coronated Vibhishan as the king of Ram. Before the war, he had Lakshman get some water from the sea, and Ram sprinkled the water on Vibhishan's head, and he said, I now declare you the emperor of Sri Lanka. So he said, Ram, please, now, you know, you made me the emperor, come into my kingdom and let us serve you there. Because now your exile is finished, so you could come into the city. Ram said, Bharat.
Actually, Vibhishan said, the exile's over. You still have matted hair. You're still wearing tree barks. Let us, you know, give you nice clothes and give you nice perfumes and give you nice food in Sri Lanka. Ram said, Bharat is still wearing deer skin, eating only herbs. How can I take anything that's better than he's having? Because he's doing it for me. Kausalya, Bharat, they're feeling great separation. I must immediately go back to Ayodhya to pacify them. What is the fastest possible way I can go? Vibhishan said, Ravana's Pushpaka. Pushpaka was... What? Pushpaka. Pushpaka, I'm sorry. It was not just an airplane. It was a golden city that flew. And it didn't have engines. Once you get on it, wherever your desire to go, it goes. Golden palaces, lakes, trees, forests, gardens. So Vibhishan brought the Pushpaka. Beautiful. Ravana stole it from Kuvera. And Vibhishan helped Ram get on it, helped Sita, helped Lakshman. And then Sugriva said, but, you know, Hanuman and myself and all of us, all the monkeys, we want to be there in Ayodhya for this auspicious coronation ceremony. Could we come? And Ram said, bring all the monkeys you like. And they all started getting on. And then Ram turned to Vibhishan and said, you should come too. Come to my coronation in Ayodhya. Vibhishan boarded the Pushpaka. And as they were flying, Ram was telling Sita all about, they were looking down as they were crossing, as they were going through Sri Lanka. He was saying, this is where this battle took place and this is where this Rakshasa was killed. Sita was like, oh, yes, yes, yes. This is the ocean that Hanumanji jumped over, and this is where... Then they got to Kishkindha Kshetra. And Ram said he desired, and Pushpaka went down, and he told Sugriva, he said, bring your wives and families. They can come to the coronation too. Then they all boarded Pushpaka. And it wasn't overcrowded either. And Lord Ram, he told Hanuman, he said, they came down, he said, you should go and tell Maharaj Guha the good news that I'm coming back to Ayodhya. And he should bring his whole, all of his kingdom to Ayodhya also for the coronation. It will make him very happy. And then go to Bharat. And please listen carefully, I'll end the class here. He told, go to Bharat. My beloved brother, he's at Nandigram, a couple miles outside of Ayodhya. All this time he's been living wearing tree bark, matted hair, and only eating roots and herbs from the ground. But he has been serving as the emperor of the world. Tell him I'm coming. That's all you have to do is tell him I'm coming. And I want you, Hanuman, to very, very carefully examine the expression of Bharat as he reacts to the news that I'm coming back. Because when a person is surrounded by such opulence and such power, it's almost unavoidable that there will be an attachment. If you sense even the slightest trace in Bharat that he's attached to being the emperor, then I will go back and I will tell Bharat, you must continue being the emperor. I will be your servant. That was the love of Ram for Bharat. So Hanuman went to Nandigram and met with Bharat. Told him he was the messenger of Ram. And that Ram was coming within minutes. Actually, not within minutes, but shortly. And when Bharat heard that, he practically fell unconscious in ecstasy. He was crying. He was leaping in the air practically. He was so happy that Ram is returning. Ram is returning. He said to Satrughna, said, go to Ayodhya and bring the widowed mothers here to greet Ram. And tell everyone in Ayodhya, all the priests, the Brahmins, the citizens, anyone who wants to come, come to greet Ram. And we will have the coronation ceremony, the moment I have been longing for 14 years, the coronation of Ram. When Hanuman saw that, he understood Ram had the same, Bharat had the same love and faith in Ram as Hanuman did. Hanuman rejoiced. Meanwhile, very soon, Kausalya, Sumitra, Kaikeyi, and large droves of people were coming in royal assemblies to Nandigram, anticipating, their hearts beating with love, waiting for Ram. Then Hanuman pointed to the sky. There, in the horizon, he's coming. And everyone looked as they saw Pushpaka coming into their view, closer and closer and closer and closer, and came down. Ram, Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman, Vibhishan, and all of their associates descended. Everyone was crowding around. Can you imagine the citizens of Ayodhya? 14 years, they were just practically dying in separation from him. Ram saw Bharat. He was emaciated because he was just suffering so much separation from Ram while he was ruling the kingdom. Ram embraced Bharat, who fell at the Lord's feet. Satrughna embraced Lakshman, his brother. So much love between them was exchanged. Then Lord Ram cleared everybody away to where Kausalya was standing. And he clasped her feet with tears in his eyes. She blessed him. Like a wilted lotus, Sumitra and Kausalya, seeing their two children again, they blossomed with joy. Then Bharat brought Ram's sandals and said, now, my lord, I have been as your messenger representative ruling the kingdom. But now, in the form of these sandals, I offer you back the kingdom. And everyone rejoiced to see Robert Bharat's love for his brother. And Ram was looking at every single citizen with smiles of affection. the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How he brought all the devotees who wanted to be for the coronation, they were all there. Bharat was inviting, Ram was inviting. Culmination of Ram's Leela. Relationships. Bhakti is about relationships. The Ramayana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the crest jewels of these scriptures that reveal the loving exchanges between the Lord and his devotees and the devotees and the devotees. Seeing the love and the exchange between Hanuman and Bharat is every bit as stirring to the heart as the Lord himself dealing with his devotees. This is how we celebrate Ram Navami. By celebrating the love of the Lord for all of us and reciprocating. By trying to deeply learn and imbibe the lessons and the examples of these beautiful pastimes and absorb our hearts in remembering him and chanting his holy name. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Now we will have Arti. Is that the next thing?